Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's bring in Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Emig now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. How was the weekend, Paul?
It was good. Nothing too crazy. Got to be honest, glad to see the Raptors lose.
Yep.
I'm with you. Glad to see the Brewers win. So that was all good.
I'm with you. I can relate to that. Completely agree. Hey, wanted to ask you, when you were covering the team and writing for Fox Sports, what was the charity game like?
The softball game?
Yeah.
It was interesting. I mean, there wasn't a large media presence. I mean, I would go every year. It was actually usually myself and Tyler Dunn, for the most part, were, you know, the only two writers who would go. And then you had your camera people and everything like that. I think my biggest, you know, discovery, I think probably the biggest news that ever came out of it, well, two things come to mind. One was Clay Matthews breaking his nose on a line drive. That was big news. And then number two was kind of being there for cleats gate. If you recall, Donald Driver tossing his cleats into the crowd to a kid and having a woman snatch it away, and then it became a big story, and then Driver was all upset because of that. But, you know, the learnings I think that you gain from it mostly would be, and I remember reading this one year, is that this was maybe 2012, 2013, and this was pretty soon after Rodgers had won Super Bowl MVP and had won MVP of the league. And there was a lot of talk about, like, Rodgers being a really competitive guy. But, of course, right? Like, most athletes are. Not that what makes Rodgers so different. And then he got really fired up and kind of, like, pissy, can I say? Towards a couple plays and a couple players and even the umpire. And I remember talking to Tyler and one of the other camera guys that was up there. And, like, he's joking, right? Like, he's not really this upset about that call at second base in the charity softball game. And sure enough, that was not
Well.
Like,
yeah,
right. That's how Aaron Rodgers competes. Like, if he's going to do a charity softball game, if he's going to do anything, if he's going to do Jeopardy. He was on Jeopardy that one time. He goes to win. And so, you know, it was little stories like that that I think you kind of start to see competitiveness. You kind of start to see some athleticism. But yeah, I mean, I always thought it was an interesting way to watch the way that players might behave, interact, you know, do stuff with fans off the football field and on a baseball field. So I always kind of enjoyed it. It was kind of a neat little off-season activity.
Now you've got this team that's going to reconvene eventually. Their head coach has now had surgery. They need to continue to install everything and get themselves ready for training camp. But I keep hearing all these positive things. We do this every year. We get out over our skis. Everybody looks great. Everybody looks in shape. Go back a couple of years. We were looking at so many different players as far as who they're going to be like and who they're going to play well against. And Montrevious Adams was going to be the next Warren Sapp.
Warren Sapp.
What can you take away, really, from the OTAs and the minicamps?
Really, I think it's just movement skills. And I know that sounds really like NFL draft scouty kind of language, but that's it. I mean, like, I recall, you know, I remember even talking to Mike Clemens about this, whatever year it was, 2015, that Ladarius Gunter went undrafted and joined the Packers. And we kind of said right away, like, almost in unison, like, I think this guy's going to make the team. I think this guy might, you know, be able to rise up the depth charts. Now, has he had a terrific career? No. I mean, he went to Carolina, like, he kind of faded away. But, hey, he was the starting outside number one cornerback on an NFC championship team. He got destroyed by Julio Jones, but he still started.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of find some diamonds in the rough there. I think you're mostly looking at skill positions because, to the point about Montrevious Adams, big guys in shorts, I think when you can't really engage and you can't shed blocks and everything, you learn less. When it comes to corners, safeties, wide receivers, I think you can glean more from that. So it's always a cautionary tale. I love that you and I both think of the Montrevious Adams-Warren Sapp comparison, which is interesting. It tells you how maybe ahead of skis, to use your phrase, we were on that one. Yeah, he still might have a good career, but right now he's probably lost a little bit on the D-line shuffle. So, again, I think you caution yourself to not learn too much, but you can watch movement skills. You can kind of see some of the skill position guys and what they have to offer.
I was reading on the Packers wire out of USA Today, Darnell Savage, Josh Jackson. They're talking about this depth that this team now has, that this could be the strength of their team is this secondary. Is this because to me, it's going to hinge more on Kevin King. If Kevin King stays healthy, then, yeah, I can see Jaire Alexander having a big year, Kevin King having a big year, and certainly the youth coming in and filling in admirably because now they've got a boatload of speed in that secondary. On the other hand, a couple of injuries, and all of a sudden a lot of young guys are going to be called upon to do big time NFL football stuff. And I just don't know if they'll have enough to get over. Give me your thoughts on the secondary of this team.
Yeah, and I saw your Twitter question earlier, and I think it kind of ties into this, the most improved position group. And they have completely, remade their starting safety group in signing Adrian Amos and then trading up to get a second first-round pick and using that to get Darnell Savage out of Maryland. So, I mean, my initial thought when I saw the tweet earlier was outside linebacker, in reference to you upgrade with Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, first-round pick, Rashawn Gary. But that still could be the right answer. But I think talking with you briefly about the fact that, Savage, Amos, you can really use Josh Jackson back there if, in a free safety role. I don't think they want to use Tremon Williams back there again, but you can. I don't think I'm a huge, and you asked me the other day about if there was, a potential breakout guy this year and who it might be, and I'd put my money on Jaire Alexander, and you and I agreed. I think the wild card in the success of the secondary will be Kevin King, who I think most people agree is a really good player when healthy. It's just when healthy that is the big, asterisk that you have to bold and underline because he just hasn't been able to do that consistently. So, secondary in general, it's young. It's filled with a lot of high draft picks. It's filled with a big money contract in Amos. I think outside linebacker could be a good answer to the most improved positional group, but I would give a slight edge to safety. I think Amos is a really good player when he's complemented by a playmaker behind him like he was in Chicago. And then I think getting Savage and trading up to get him, who fits that sort of mold. Will Savage do it right away in his rookie year and be a stud right from week? Probably not. Most guys need some time to get their feet wet, but when he figures it out, if he figures it out, that safety group, a group that I have hated for years because I was very much an anti-Clinton Dix guy. I just did not like the way he played football over the past 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at Raven Green as a starter had they not drafted Savage. Transitioning from Morgan Burnett to Josh Jones didn't work. Now Josh Jones doesn't even want to be a Packer because his career has gone in the wrong direction. That's a vastly improved group, and I think the secondary as a whole, it will probably ride on the trio of Savage, Jaire Alexander, and Kevin King being healthy and being really good because they were all invested in heavily for a good reason.
Before I let you go, I also wanted to ask you, when we talk about the secondary, now it's got to be fortified up front. Do you think, defensively speaking, that this team, and I had the question earlier today, do they have the capability to be a top 10 defense? Would it shock me? Wouldn't shock me, but I'd be surprised that all of a sudden all of this started to come together by a couple of free agent moves in the offseason. Nothing of major ilk, but I would be shocked if this team became a top 10 defense, would you?
I wouldn't use the word shocked. I'm sorry, there's an ambulance about to drive by. I hope it's not too loud. I wouldn't be shocked if it's there. I wouldn't be shocked if they were a top 10 defense. I wouldn't use that strong of a word. But I think and I'll include myself in this group, enamored with, what I'm enamored with and what I think it's, I think what the excitement that's generated about this defense is that it's different. It's new. And it's not just with, fifth round picks and, $2 million per year free agent type guys. It's been remade significantly, drastically. It's huge money on Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. It's a first round draft pick, two first round draft picks on defense. It's big money on a new safety coming from the Bears. It's all of these things combined with, I think, the fact that people, and again, I'm going to include myself in this group, are really excited about what Pettine can do when he has the right types of players, the right skill set players around him. So, you know, again, I think you and I, and this will be a fascinating thing for us to keep in touch with, you know, obviously throughout the football season, is like, you know, in terms of optimism for the defense, in terms of optimism for the team, on a scale of 1 to 10, Bill, I'm at like an 8. I would probably guess you're more like a 6. I think there's enough reason to have that optimism that it's not just like, you know, blind faith that they're the Packers and that they're going to figure it out. I really like what Brian Gutekunst has done now over the past really 15, 16 months on the job. So I'm about like an 8 on the optimism scale, and I'm guessing you're like a 6?
Yeah, I'm probably about between a 5 and a 6.
Okay.
I mean, it's... Could they end up in the top 12? Sure. Top 10, granted, they took a big leap last year numerically, but top 10 to me is a consistent dominant. You can rely on your defense to win you games, and I don't know if they're there yet.
Yeah, who are we to say on, you know, early June? But, like, I think, you know, that's where my optimism comes in. But I think they are good enough on paper to win games defensively this year.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff, Paul, as always, and we'll chat again later in the week, okay?
All right, Bill.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. We'll be right back.